Money means a lot in politics.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Republicans are celebrating today a wave of good fortune in elections all across the country. The GOP takes control of the U.S. House come January. Democrats gave up at least six of their seats in the Senate, but the Dems will retain control in that chamber. It was another election cycle of eye-popping money spent on campaign ads, on get-out-the-vote efforts, on polling, helped along, of course, with cash that came in from corporations and outside organizations. Marketplace's Scott Tong is with us live from Washington to help us sort it all out. Morning, Scott.
Good morning, Steve.
How much money are we talking about? And more to the point, did it work?
We're talking $211 million. That is what outside groups, not the candidates, spent on what's called independent expenditures for TV and radio ads. And that number is five times more than any previous midterm. This tally comes from a group called the Center for Responsive Politics. The group's Dave Leventhal says the biggest spenders were conservative groups. And as he put it, the results speak for themselves.
In the majority of the races that attracted the most outside spending, the Republican candidate won. Arkansas, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Missouri, Florida, Kentucky all saw more than $5 million spent by outside organizations on that political election.
So in a way, he's saying that's money well spent. But what about the candidates, Scott, who spent their own money?
Well, the success rate there is a measly 1 out of 5. Most candidates who spent their own money, they lost. That includes eBay founder Meg Whitman in California, who spent more than $100 million of her own, Carly Fiorina, formerly of HP, and in Connecticut, Linda McMahon, the former CEO of Worldwide Wrestling Entertainment.
All right, Marketplace's Scott Tong. Scott, thanks.
You're welcome.
You know where a lot of that money went, of course, to TV stations for advertising. And now that the election is over, we're going to get regular television commercials back. Milwaukee Public Radio's Mitch Tyke reports on what happens now.
It turns out many ad buyers hate political commercials more than you do. That's because ads for other clients, shoe stores, car dealers, get bumped to make room for political spots. Local stations give priority to campaign ads, which pay more. Alicia Smits is an ad buyer for Laughlin Constable in Milwaukee. She represents clients like the department store chain The Boston Store. And she says there's an issue when the store has already bought time.
So the problem is, for the Boston store, our sales are really, really short.
She's talking about those special Columbus Day and Labor Day sales, which only last a few days and can't be aired later on.
When I get kicked out by politicians, I have nowhere to go because the other stations in the market can't take it because nobody has inventory for me to take. It's just not available.
That means lots of so-called make goods in the coming weeks, ads that were supposed to run in the campaign season but didn't.
Since they're getting pushed back, that puts more of a pressure on the station's inventory. So even though it's not as horrible, not nearly as horrible, it's still really tight.
Smith says that means ad buying will remain complicated even into December because ads for holiday sales will be competing for time with those make goods. In Milwaukee, I'm Mitch Tyke for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. The markets are off right now, under 0.5% generally. The S&P off 0.25%, NASDAQ down 2%, the Dow off 15 points at 11,173. European shares closed mostly lower today, and Asian shares were mostly higher.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by MassMutual, with financial professionals nationwide who are trained to serve the unique financial needs of their clients at massmutual.com. By Novo Nordisk, since 1923, innovative developer of diabetes treatments and delivery devices at novonordisk-us.com. And by PBS, taking you deep inside the world of the big top. Circus, starting tonight at 9, 8 Central on PBS.
Today, 20,000 flight attendants with Delta Airlines finished voting on whether to unionize. Similar voting for other Delta employees is ongoing. The merger of Delta and Northwest Airlines has brought Delta's non-union employees together with Northwest's mostly unionized workforce. From station WABE in Atlanta, Jim Burris reports.
Between the radio and TV commercials like this one from a major union,
we need those workers to keep their jobs.
You'd think this union vote was really a national referendum. If the majority votes yes, this could be the first time in its 80-plus-year history that people other than Delta executives determine wages and benefits.
We don't believe that the outcome of these representation elections would materially change our cost projections.
That's Delta spokeswoman Gina Laughlin. She says in the 2008 merger with Northwest, Delta already factored in what a unionized workforce would cost the airline's bottom line. Delta is hush-hush on those figures, but Laughlin says this issue isn't so much about cash.
This is about culture, not costs.
Laughlin says that the company already has an open-door policy where managers and workers have no trouble negotiating wages and benefits. Dan Petrie heads the business college at Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University in Florida. He agrees corporate culture is important, but says unionizing Delta workers doesn't have to change that culture. That depends on Delta.
The onus is really on management to work tirelessly, to identify areas where they and their workers can agree and build a positive relationship, whether there's a union involved or not.
Petrie says wages don't play as big a role in the industry's bottom line as airplane capacity and, one more thing, customer satisfaction.
I think at the end of the day, what really matters is how do the workers interact with their customers, because that's what really builds your reputation.
So a merger that 2 years ago began with the question, which soda do we choose to serve, Coke or Pepsi, concludes with which status do workers choose, union or non? In Atlanta, I'm Jim Burris for Marketplace.
Finally, smoking workers at one government office in Britain now have to sacrifice something else for their habit, money. At the Breckland Council, employees will have to clock out to take a cigarette break. The council implemented this new rule after it claimed too much time was being wasted by workers stepping outside to light up. A smokers' lobbying group called that plan tyrannical. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Check us out online at marketplace.org. You can check the numbers any time of the day and grab the podcast while you're there, too. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
Inner Mongolia is making so much money selling coal to China that they're building whole new cities. Problem is, nobody lives in them yet.
The nearest supermarket is half an hour away. Will people start to move here? There are still a lot of empty properties.
I'm Kai Rizdal. Mongolia's growing pains and all the day's business news, the numbers from Wall Street as well. Next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.